from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
You gotta get bored by baseball.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
All right. Shohei Ohtani isn't boring. I don't know if you knew this, but Shohei Ohtani isn't boring, and that's in turn makes baseball not being boring. In turn, makes us talk about Shohei Ohtani and his future and the future of baseball. And there's nobody better to talk about all of this than Ed Hand, free agent correspondent. Ed, what's going on? How you doing?
Not too many free agents to correspond about. Really left. It's kind
no,
of
that's
like
why
the
we're
Walker,
that's what we're turning the page. It's a
yeah,
once here's the thing, Ed. Once Jorge Alfaro signed, we're turning the page to the next offseason. That's how it works.
No, it's true. Once no more Alfaro, no thank you.
Put that on the bumper stickers. No Alfaro, no thank you. Although that might be perceived as a negative connotation when it's a positive connotation. So be it. But we do know that still Michael Wacha, as we tape this, still sits there, which bizarrely that's the most bizarre one, right? Of all of them.
Yeah. In a year where starting pitchers are making bank and getting all kinds of years, he's just sort of been there, available, but unattainable for whatever reason.
I guess he is attainable, just not on his terms. But you know, we're not here to talk. We've talked about Michael Wacha on like 15 podcasts. He's when he signs, we can talk about him again. But I think it's a great conversation. I'm actually looking forward to this a lot about basically the biggest news that's going to happen in baseball once this year gets going. Once you get to the trade deadline, once the offseason happens, Shohei Ohtani is slated to be a free agent, or is going to be eligible to be a free agent after the 2023 season. It is a candidacy. I'm going to say this, Ed. It's a free agent candidacy like we've never seen before. And because not only because he's going to make more money, assuming he stays healthy, but he's going to make more money than anybody has ever before. But because of what he represents and because of the entire package. And I mean, I think that if he became the next first $500 or $500, if he became the first $500 player, then yes, that would be something. But if he became the first $500 million player, it wouldn't surprise me at all. That's where I'll start with this. Ed, when you look at what Ohtani right now, the perspective of they have with him right now, what do you think? Do you think he'll make $500 million?
Yeah, I do. And it's just because there's nothing. I think that with some players, there's that worry that, you know, like I can get somebody comparable to him for cheaper. So why would we offer him this much now that everybody's going to be wanting that? There's nobody you can compare to Ohtani. You know, there aren't two people there's nobody else that's an all-star at two positions, let alone a potential Cy Young Award winner and MVP at multiple positions. It's pretty insane how
and to me, you're not even mentioning the reason I think that he's going to reach that $500 million. Which is the business side of it, which is there has been nobody who has played the game of baseball who has potentially more impact on the business of a baseball team than Shohei Ohtani. I mean, it is, and all you do need to do, Ed, is look at the Angels. The Angels have arguably the two best players in baseball. Business wise, it's not even close. I mean, we keep fitting Mike Trout this square peg in a round hole in terms of marketing him. Well, Ohtani is not a square peg in a round hole. Ohtani is, you know, the guy who is the obvious money maker for any team that signs him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's young, he's talented, he's handsome, he's charismatic. You know, you can put him on anything and he'll sell it. And, you know, he's also, it's the international part can't be underestimated either. There's a massive market, not just in Japan, but all of Asia. The rest of the world, you look at this guy, you associate him with baseball. What team isn't going to want that just from that? And that's ignoring the stuff that I mentioned before about like the God-given talent that he has. It's really, there hasn't, I think about Aaron Judge this year. I think about some of the other guys we talked about. It's not even close to what Ohtani brings. He really is the full package.
Yeah, and it's funny because Aaron Judge maybe isn't super comparable in terms of reaching even getting over 400 million because he was a little up there in age into when he signed. He didn't have as many years left. But that said, the Yankees did pay for the business of Aaron Judge, the marketability of Aaron Judge. We have to factor in this with all this. When we look at any of these guys, and Bryce Harper was another example of this. When they signed Bryce Harper, it was this is a guy who was in the previous years leading up to that contract, Ed. He was hitting in the 240s. I know batting average, you know, whatever. But still, he was hitting in the 240s. He was a good player. He was with a ton of potential. But still, the idea that he was going to get better, the idea that he was going to be able to be the middle of the order guy, and everybody was going to be wearing Harper jerseys. So, and if whoever gets Ohtani, can you imagine? I'm just thinking about it. I'm getting so excited thinking about the idea of Ohtani, Ed, in a big market. And I'm not like the Angels are not Los Angeles. The Dodgers are Los Angeles, right? Right now. But in New York, and we'll go through some of the markets, but can you imagine him in New York? Holy mackerel.
I can't see him going to a place that isn't, first of all, one of those big cities. I don't even think it would be a place like Chicago. I really think it's going to be L.A. or New York. I have a very hard time imagining him going anywhere else.
Okay, well, let's not bury the lead. Let's not spoil it. So when you look at there's a few different articles and there's odds and everything else where he's going to land. I'm just going to cherry pick this one from CBS Sports, and because I think it's the most recent one, and it had for the top four teams that they think that Ohtani's going to end up with. And you tell me, and maybe you can give me your top four teams after, and maybe they'll be exactly the same. I don't know. Number one is don't say anything, but I'll just read them. Number one is the Dodgers. Number two is the Mets. Number three is the Giants. And number four, the Angels. All right, give me your top four.
Number one is the Dodgers. Number two is the Mets. Those two are for the number three, Yankees. Number four, Angels.
The Angels, that's the sneaky part about this, right? The Angels almost can't, you know, they can't afford to lose them. It's weird. You get what was, or you can still might say, a lot of people say that at least the best position player, you have him for years upon years upon years. You give him this long-term deal, Mike Trout, $400 million deal, $420 million deal. And you're saying, this is what we're doing. We got our guy. And now you have to panic because you can't lose another guy. It's crazy. Anyway, I'm not sleeping on the Angels, Ed.
No, they, I mean, just for marketing also, they have the money. Didn't our Moreno or whoever just decided that they're keeping the team too. Yeah. So it's not like they're trying to burn their whole, the whole everything down so that someone new can come in and take it. It would be, I mean, it's kind of like losing any player of that quality. I mean, it's a disaster. It's an unmitigated disaster if you lose that guy into the Angels. So they're going to be in it. But I think there's a reason everyone's saying the Dodgers and the Mets is the top two, though.
Yeah, it does feel like the Dodgers, and this is sort of a guess and conspiracy theory a little bit, the Dodgers are loading up. You know, the Dodgers weren't enormous spenders this year. And, you know, they can talk about the luxury tax or whatever. But still, like, if you're going to load up for a guy, load up for him. That's cool. Like, that's good. But it is, I think that I'm going to give my top four. I do think the Dodgers have to be number one. And I would say the Mets are right there. But I do think you have to go back to when Ohtani actually was filtering out teams that he actually interviewed with. I think the only he interviewed with the Cubs, which is sort of bizarre, but everything else was sort of West Coast. And you see this a lot. You know, they want to be a little bit closer to home. And I don't know if that's changed or not. I can't remember. I should look this up. If he interviewed with the Yankees, I know he did an interview with the Red Sox. The Red Sox desperately wanted to, and they had all these jerseys made up, Bruins, Celtics, Patriots with Ohtani in the back, which I surface the pictures of him like every time Ohtani does anything. But that would have got him the Ohtani Bruins jersey. You know what? Forget about that. You're like a country closer to your homeland playing on the West Coast. We have a Bruins Ohtani jersey. That is going to make all the difference. So anyway, I think that the West Coast, I still say the Dodgers. So now I have another site here for the odds. This is the odds. This is a little more, it doesn't really matter. It was at the end of the year. So, the odds here, I think it's covers.com, whatever that is. So no disrespect to them, but you know, whatever. Our go-to is FanDuel, and until they, I don't think they've put up their odds yet, but once they do, we'll cite them all the live long day. All right. So these are terrible odds though. And so they have the Mets one at, you know, plus 175, Dodgers 2 at plus 350. Those are fine. But then they have the Cardinals. No way.
What?
Yeah, they have the
Cardinals. What?
Who made up this list? Terrible.
The Cardinals who got outbid for David Price?
Yeah.
The Cardinals who spent big on Wilson Contreras and that was it this year?
Yeah. Maybe they're loaded. I don't know. The Giants, again. The Rangers, you know, this was done before the Rangers spent all their money on pitching and still have Simeon and Seager. So I don't think they're going to add it. I mean, as much money as they have, that would seem to be a long shot. The Blue Jays, I don't think he's going to Canada. No disrespect to the people, the fine people there. Yeah. The Yankees are tied with the Blue Jays and the Rangers. Yankees have a better shot. Chicago White Sox. I mean, the Braves are locking everybody up. I don't see them doing something like that. The Mariners,
that doesn't make sense.
You know, the Mariners, okay. The Mariners, yeah, I don't think they're spending the money, but, you know, location-wise, why not, right? There's no Cubs here. Like I said, he interviewed with Cubs, but I guess they're just looking at it, well, different regime, not spreading the money, so forth and so on. So yeah, I mean, you think the Dodgers? You're with me.
Yeah, the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers just make the most sense. It's that bit, he doesn't have to move very far, but he immediately moves to a much more historic and, for lack of better word, respected team. Bigger market. I don't know if this makes difference to it, but there's always been that connection between Japanese baseball and the Dodgers just from Hideo Nomo coming there. So I don't know how much of a connection that makes, but there is the historic aspect of it too.
I mean, just with
them not spending that much this year, it seems like they're charging up to get him.
You know a team we haven't mentioned, which is an obvious team, the Padres.
What team?
The Padres. I mean, like, why yeah. not? Why not? Why not? It's, you know,
it does bring it a little bit into because it does make sense. And next year they have two big name free agents coming up that maybe they can afford it after signing. Bogarts.
So, and we're gonna
maybe they can't.
We're gonna get to that in a second, because we're going to go through some of the top free agents coming up. But it's interesting because the Padres are an interesting one for that exact reason. But I'm going to save that one. Before we move on to that from Ohtani, the other conversation about Ohtani is trading him at the deadline. If the Angels stink, right, then if they don't trade him, they're stupid. They're stupid. Because I think that Ohtani isn't going to ride out the Angels another bad year and say, oh, no, I'm going to trust that it's going to get better. This is make or break for the Angels. Either they're good or they're not. And I don't think Ohtani is of the mind of, hey, you know what, I'm going to stick around for a rebuild or this. You know, I'm not trusting that we're going to be better. He just wants to go to a team that they're going to be better. They're actually going to win, I would imagine. So do you think right now at the deadline, which is going to be, I mean, holy mackerel, if his name is being thrown around, it's going to be awesome. Do you think he'll be traded? Like, if you had to guess right now.
If they're bad, I think he will be traded, just because you see that with lesser players too. You always look at the, you know, like the Rockies and Trevor Story, where they held on to him for whatever reason. He left and they got to the Red Sox and they got nothing for him. So you got to think that if somebody that valuable, somebody that will actually get you one of these ridiculous projected trades, like, you know how we see those where it's like, who says no? And it's like,
wait.
Prospects.
There's nothing wrong with a who says no. I love a good who says no, Ed.
But here's the thing, though.
I love the fake trades.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you're getting Shohei Ohtani, the only team that says no is the Angels.
Right. And so basically any fake trade with Shohei Ohtani involved, and I was on the radio this weekend and somebody called in and they were trying to do a fake trade for the Red Sox or Ohtani. And it's like Sadan Rafaela, Marcelo Meyer, and maybe, I don't know, someone else. I'm like, keep going.
No,
keep going.
Yeah.
Keep going. And you think, and for a team to do that, you know, you have to be a team that has this. First of all, you have guys locked up. You're not going to need those minor leaguers because you're still dealing with half a year, man. Like, you're still dealing with this in half a year. And so it's still like, if I'm the Angels, you know, I make sure that I get the right deal. I'm being a hypocrite because I said you better trade them, but I also make sure I get the right deal because, you know, it's that those sort of deals define teams. Those sort of deals can make an enormous, enormous difference. What were some of the ones that I just saw from this past trade deadline that, you know, have already, I think that they involve the Cubs. Like Rizzo, the prospect that they got back for the Rizzo trade is now like a real top prospect. I should know his name. I apologize. I did not study up. But, you know, those are the trades, even half a year trades define teams. So,
one more thing to note with that also, the Angels kind of, when you say make or break for them, it's really never been more make or break, because think about how much they could get for Ohtani if they traded him with a full season of it.
Oh,
and they're already
right.
Not doing that. Like, what they could buy an entire new minor league system with all of the prospects they'd get for, or whatever.
Right.
They have to win this year. They really have to win this year.
And you know what? Listen, we've seen this with other teams where it's a tough one. You go into a contract year and you have to keep the guy, you know, that like is the foundation of the fan base. You know that this person is really important to winning. But to me, it always comes back to you get to this time of year in February. I think you have to make close to your best offer. Like, honestly, Ed. Like, I think you have to make close to your best offer and say, and get an idea if the guy is going to realistically sign. Because if he isn't realistically going to sign, then as much as it hurts, you got to trade him. Like, you have to trade him. And because, number one, you're getting back better pros or better haul, not even question. And number two, it's not, you're left in no man's land of figuring out whether you can sign him or not. And I don't know, like, teams sort of do that. But we saw this with Bogarts. But that was another example. You know, it's – and they almost, like, had to – and they basically had to pay more because of Devers. But you have to give what you think is going to be your best offer. And then if you get the sense that he's not going to take it, then you trade him. That's it.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if the Angels have done that. But I know that they sure doesn't look like they're going to trade him anytime soon. So,
but here's the thing. I think that if they manage – say this is a really incredibly good season for the Angels. It's the best that they've been since Michael Trout's been with them. They make the playoffs. They get to the ACL.
Did you just
call him Michael Trout?
Very formal. I like it.
he was the answer on a Jeopardy question the other day for Athletic Michaels.
Oh, really?
They had like Michael Johnson on it, the runner. Yeah, that was last week.
That almost doesn't even count because no one calls him Michael except you. So
when you're really close with him, which I guess the creators of Jeopardy are also, then he's Michael.
Well, there you go. The 2 degrees of separation from Jeopardy at hand. Let's go.
It's not 2 degrees. My sister was on Jeopardy.
Oh, wait a second. Wait, was she?
Yeah, in 2014.
How'd she do?
She was winning going into Final Jeopardy, and she bet too much and got the answer wrong in Final Jeopardy. All three of them got it wrong, but she bet more than the other ones did.
How much does that hurt for her? Was she really, really like, was that a tough one to take for her? Oh, you froze up.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Why am I freezing?
Oh, there you go. I got you.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, it's all right. So was that?
Sorry about that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember what the total was that she bet, but it was a lot.
How was her mood after? Was it happy to be there, or was it?
I think it was a little bit of happy to be there and a little disappointed. She was like, she did academic decathlon in high school, which is, you know, it's like team Jeopardy. And like, but she was on, they were state champions. She got to go to the national championship in I think it alternated every year. My year of high school was in Hawaii. Her year it was Erie, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. So she,
you were in high school in Hawaii?
They had it at a high school in Hawaii.
Oh, I got you.
I didn't go there. It was they alternate with the championship every year. Sorry.
Did she have to answer any sports questions?
She didn't have any, although she was asking me like baseball trivia beforehand. No, the question that got us, that got her in Final Jeopardy, it was a movie question, actually. It was what Oscar-winning movie was based on a short story called The Invisible Man.
What was it?
It was It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, okay.
Which makes sense. If you've seen Christmas movies, it makes sense, but we're Jewish. We didn't grow up on any of these movies. Okay. So we never saw neither of us had ever seen It's a Wonderful Life.
Unfair.
Oh, no.
That's unfair.
And it was just one of those things.
You ever see the movie White Man Can't Jump?
Yes. But it's been a long time.
Part of that movie is that what's her name? Rosie Perez. Is that her name? The actress? Her character is studying. That's her goal in life, is to be on Jeopardy. And she just studies and just studies all the time, studies all the time. So you have to actually study to be on Jeopardy. Like when you
get
the call, you're like basically reading encyclopedias, or in this case now for not 80-year-olds, look at the internet, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was for her and for a lot of these people that do academic, it's like getting called to the big leagues, and then however long you can make your run, like that's like your that's like your major league cup of coffee, you know?
Well, there you go. Michael Trout's the big winner. And speaking of being called to the big leagues, the big leagues will have, besides Shohei Ohtani, there will have a couple other big, big free agents. It's going to be – would you say that next year's free agent class is spicier than this one?
No, but I think the pitching's a lot better, and that's exciting.
Okay. All right. But we had mentioned – this. We're going to morph the Ohtani and next year other free agents – San Diego is being a possibility. And why we say San Diego might be a possibility is you have Machado and Soto, right? Correct?
Yep. You have Machado and Soto, and you can't have all of them.
Can't have all of them. So here's the question I have for you, Ed, GM Ed, is would you trade Would you sign Ohtani and let Machado and Soto go? It's a great question.
That's tough. Yeah, it's tough. Honestly, I would, if I had to pick between the three, between just Shohei Ohtani or Manny Machado and Juan Soto, I think I'm going Machado and Soto.
I would agree, because it's baseball.
Yeah.
And once again, I always say they don't run isolations for outfielders. In this case, they don't run isolations for pitchers, outfielders, and hitters, and whatever. But still, you know, as good as he does is, you know, you still need you need as much star power on a diamond as you can get, I think. And this is the obvious example of this is, you know, the fact that where Ohtani's coming from. I mean, yeah. So I agree. That's a tough one, though. That's a good question. Might put up a poll on that one.
But they might be – here's the thing, though. If they don't get Machado back and they lose Yu Darvish, do you take that money and try to invest it in Ohtani? Because Darvish is a free agent also. They're paying him quite a bit of money.
Right. So if you lose Yu Darvish and lose, like, Machado, you said – those two?
Yeah.
And then you try to sign Soto?
You try to get Soto and Ohtani.
I mean, not that they care, but that, I mean, Soto's like what? I mean, he turned down, what did he turn down? 440 or something like that?
Yeah, with the Nationals.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. That's crazy. I don't know. No, I don't think it has anything to do with it. I mean, I think that you need players. You need really, really good players and not just one. I don't trade. If I can get two really impactful players then I take the two impactful players over impactful as Ohtani is. I mean, the you look at the Angels, and once again, they're the poster for just like how baseball teams really get sucked into this. No one had a problem with them signing Trout. I mean, you have to sign that deal, right? He's a transcendent player. You do whatever you can to sign Ohtani, but you cannot have that much percentage of your payroll go to Anthony Rendon. Like, you can't miss on that. That was, talk about a luxury item that has been anything but a luxury. That's crazy. I mean, that was just, you can't do that. You can't. So what I'm saying is that why the Padres are spending money on these guys, to right now as we sit here, it doesn't seem like they're missing on these guys. These guys aren't busts.
No.
So anyway. So who else we got in the next year, free agent class?
Well, there's Machado. There aren't a ton of position players, but there are a couple of interesting third basemen, because there's Machado and there's Matt Chapman from the Blue Jays, who isn't as much of a – he hits home runs and he plays really, really good defense. So he's somebody that could be very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good one. How about the other position players?
Teoscar Hernandez in the outfield.
Yeah, then it drops down. So there you go. It drops down.
Yeah, it drops down in a hurry. A guy that I personally find interesting because he's a shortstop. Well, Alfaro, yes, actually. But there's always the chance he gets extended before the end season.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't want to guess anything now, because if it plays out how I want it to, we're seeing 50 home runs out of the guy.
All right, there you go. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Rosario. Ahmed Rosario on the Guardians, I think, is a pretty interesting player. It's just funny going from the four shortstops we had this year to Rosario being the clear, like, overall favorite of them.
Yeah. How about the pitchers?
Oh, there are some nice pitchers on this one. Because Ohtani's obviously on there, but then you've got Julio Urias from the Dodgers also. You've got Aaron Nola from the Phillies is on that list. You've got a couple of Darvish, who I mentioned. You've got guys that you can legitimately feel comfortable putting in the one and two spot in the rotation. Mm. So it's very different than it was this year, I think, really one reliable guy.
Yeah, but I mean, and as you mentioned these names, it's like, you know, who are the teams loading up to get? That's the big question, right? And so right now it's probably Soto and Otani. As good as Machado, I guess Machado too.
Yeah.
But what is, how old is Machado now?
He's Machado's going to be 30 this year, I believe.
Okay. All right. So, you know, he still could get a decent, pretty good contract. I mean, it's interesting. He signed the 10-year, $300 million contract. I mean, he could improve on that. I mean, in terms of the AAV anyway. But you have to figure that the Dodgers, the Mets, and probably the Padres are all teams that have shown, well, the Mets and the Padres definitely have shown they don't care. They're just like, we don't care about the luxury tax, whatever. The Dodgers strategically probably don't care because they're loading up and they have shown the ability to spend a lot of money on teams. I mean, the Rangers would be sort of the wild card in this because they are spending a lot of money, but they've spent so much money in the last 2 years. I can't imagine. And those are, I mean, it's not like 1 or 2 year commitments. They're going to be hanging around a little bit. So,
yeah, even DeGrom.
Yeah. I mean, you're still talking three years down the road. And obviously with Semien and Seager, that's going to be a while. I'm trying to think of any other team that feels like, oh, they're ready to spend some money. The Oakland A's, no.
I do think that you're underselling Julio Urias a little bit there. I think that because he's one of these young frontline pitchers that you really can build around. So if he's healthy at the end of the year,
right,
if he has another year like
the last two. Give me his contract right now.
For Urias?
Yeah.
What I would offer him?
Not what he's making now. Assuming he has a good year, what would GM Ed pay him?
If I'm being honest, I'm a very big Urias guy.
Okay.
I would give the same. I would give him the same average like yearly value as a DeGrom.
Ooh, what's that? It's like $40 million.
You pay him like a true. Yeah, you pay him like a true ace.
How old is he?
He's like, well, he's young. He was an 18-year-old rookie.
That's right. Oh, man, I remember that. It's how old I am.
So he's young. He's already been through the Tommy John stuff. He's got that fresh elbow.
So Urias is only 26.
Yep.
26. He's obviously, you know, listen, it's hard to argue. And it's funny, he gets slept on a lot because, not literally, but he gets slept on a lot, you know. But he's like, you look at 2021, yeah. I mean, 2021, 20-3 with a 2.96 ERA. How did he finish seventh in the Cy Young? What happened?
I have no idea. I think people just forgot about him. Yeah, I think that they just forgot about him because, you know, he was one of these guys who came up really young, 19 years old in 2016, and then he got hurt. So he was out for a few years there.
How
does
that happen? So he goes,
yeah.
So in the last 2 years, Ed, he's 30, and I know wins, whatever, but we'll use it as a jumping off point. He's 37-10. He has in both years he's had a ERA under 3. Last year he led the league with a 2.16 ERA. He led the league with a 1.94 ERA plus. He finished he finished third in the Cy Young last year. But you're right. I mean, you my friend are correct. That's the thing. I'd rather have him as a pitcher than Otani. I just said it. There you go.
Yeah, less wear and tear on the elbow. You know, people were talking about, oh, you've got to make your play this year for a starting pitcher. But if I'm a team that's really holding out to give that big contract to a pitcher, I'm waiting because I don't think any of the guys this year, even, you know, Verlander, amazing pitcher, but he's 40. You know, you can't plan to build for today and for the future with Justin Verlander.
No.
So, like, Urias is the only pitcher I can think of that really fits that mold.
Man, and he's a Boris guy. He's a Boris guy.
Oh, he's getting paid.
So, that's a good one. I mean, I think that's of all the free agents, like, you know, so we know sort of where Soto stands because he turned down that money. You know, Machado, you know, same thing, whatever. Urias is going to be a sneaky one. That's a good one. So if you had to rank if you do an excellent job ranking the free agents, give me your top four. Give me a top four free agents now.
So it's hard. You can't put anybody ahead of Otani. Like he's generational. He really is. He's like multi-generational.
Yeah. I agree.
He's number one. So I kind of look at Manny Machado as almost being like what Xander Bogaerts was this year, except he doesn't have all those other shortstops to compete against. So I think he's going to get a deal like that. But I'd put Urias ahead of Machado, honestly. I think just because he's young, he's just much younger.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, there's a case to be made.
His talent is harder to replicate.
Yeah, definitely a case to be made. And you know, like you said, to get a pitcher, like that's the thing. We get hitters that young every once in a while. Machado is one of them. Yeah. But to get a pitcher that young, that's not normal.
I mean, it just makes me think about, like, if in a different timeline, Jose Fernandez, he would be negotiating right now. But yeah, Urias would be my number two, then Machado at number three. One of the other pitchers, probably, maybe Nola. One of the other pitchers, maybe, like Aaron Nola, maybe.
Yeah. So Soto is making, he's going to make $23 million in 2023. And so, you know, you're right. I mean, you're going to have to make a decision on him one way or the other, right? So, 2024. Oh, man, he's going to make it today. 4 years of arbitration eligibility for Juan Soto. There is a big drop-off. We go through the free agent class. There is a big drop-off. My apologies to Teoscar Hernandez and his family, but there's a big drop-off. There just is. Ohtani.
Yeah. I mean –
Urias and Machado. Boom, boom, boom. Right?
Those are the big three.
Yeah. And only one of them is going to have their own
clean. Big three 2023.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. So, all right. Well, we you know, this is spiced a lot spicier than Michael Walker talk. I can tell you that. It was fun. I like the Ohtani stuff is crazy to me. It's fun. It's the gift that keeps on giving. It really is.
You know, we could do like every couple weeks, we could do like a 15-minute Ohtani check.
Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, I just hope he stays healthy. I hope he has a great year. And you know, honestly, Ed, I hope the Angels have a good year. I think a lot of people in baseball feel that way. It's like we, you know, as good as Trout is and Ohtani is, like, I think that people in baseball want to see them in the postseason. Like, that would be a great dynamic. So
can you imagine the coverage for Michael Trout's first real playoff run?
I don't know. I'm not picking them.
I mean, the Astros are good. I mean, you can't pick against them for the division.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this in that division. You already have, even without the Angels, you have the Mariners. You know, they're going to be good. The Rangers, I think they're going to be good. And obviously the Astros. So, anyway, it's great. It's great. We're in February. Now we're talking baseball. We've been talking baseball, but now we're kind of talking baseball with the images of green grass and baseballs being flung all over the place. That's great. All right, Ed. It's awesome, isn't it?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, there you go. All right, good stuff.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.